Hello, and thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. In this segment, Pastor Nathan will be bringing a series of messages from the book of Genesis.
Well, we got through chapter 1, verse 1, and verse 2, and verse 3. Now we're going to hit verse 4 and 5 today. Genesis chapter 1. Let's look at verse number 4 and 5. My intentions aren't to keep you long, but I hope that you learn and listen, and I hope that we can apply some things to our heart this evening. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Father, you know my mind is tired. That's no excuse. I pray that you will use me and help me to focus on what we need to say. I pray that you'll use me as a vessel. If there's someone here that doesn't know for sure that you are their Savior, or that they are saved, that you are their Savior, I pray that they'll trust you tonight. It's important that everyone knows for sure that they're going to go to heaven. And Father, it's certainly important to trust you to be our Savior. And I'm thankful I did that years ago, and many of these folk in here have done that. But there may be one, maybe two, maybe more that haven't trusted you yet. And Father, if they've reached the age of accountability, I pray that they'll do that this evening. I do pray that you'll help us as we look over some things, talk about some of the things in society, and see who you are and what you've done. I pray that you'll get honor and glory out of everything. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we've seen these two verses. And the first thing that I want us to know about the first day. So the title of my message is, if I had a title for my series, it would be, Were the First Day. Were the First Day. The first thing that I noticed when I was reading these two verses is I noticed that what God does is always good. What God does is always good. Good. There are some people out there in the world that want us to believe that God does evil. Friend, God has never done evil. He has never done evil to you, and He doesn't do evil to me. He is not evil. He is good. However, sin did come into the world, and there is evil that is out there, but it is not of God. You look at some, you know, I hate commercials when, you know, and it's good to be reminded, but I hate commercials about children that have cancer. Those St. Jude commercials tear me up. The older I get, the more I tear up about things like that. I see those little children that are sick, and it bothers me, and I hate that children get cancer. But God didn't do that. I hate that accidents happen. I had been looking for years for a teacher of mine from when I was in third and fourth grade. At the time, her name was Miss Jones. She has since married. And long story short, I was in contact. I was in contact with another teacher of mine, and we were just in passing saying, "Boy, I'd like to." I've been looking for her for 15 years. I haven't seen her probably in almost 30. She made an impact in my life as a third and fourth grader. And I thought, well, does anybody know where she's at? I could never find her. He says, well, she married so-and-so. And so I looked her up. It took me a long time. I mean, it took me an hour or so after finding out her name to go through all the names, and I found her. I knew where she was from, and I said, oh, that has to be her. So I just by chance messaged her, say, Miss Jones, this is Nathan Barker. I had you in third and fourth grade. I just want you to know you were a good teacher, blah, blah, blah. And sent it just to see if anything would happen. Within 20, 25 minutes, I got a response, and it was her. And I was looking at her Facebook, and she has two beautiful children, and she told me, she said, my 22-year-old daughter, Danielle, died February the 22nd, or February the 6th. And says, we're trying to deal with that. We know that God is good, but it's a very difficult thing. I don't know how she died, but I've never met the girl, but my heart instantly broke because she is bearing a burden. I hate that. I hate that a 22-year-old young lady that loved the Lord and used her talents for God died whether it was a car accident or cancer, I don't know. But I want you to know that wasn't God that did that. God never intended for death to take place, but Adam and Eve, having a free will, sinned. So God is not evil. God is good. And when you see someone that has cancer, or you see a child that may have some kind of deformity, and you think, why did God let this happen? I want you to stop, and I want you to think of something very serious. God doesn't do evil. God does good. But because of sin, He let evil come. It wasn't His perfect will, but it wasn't His permissive will. You and I, we all have ailment. I don't like the idea that older folks that I know and that I love, I don't like that the older they get, the more of their memory goes. I'm thinking of someone that's close to me and my family, and it seems like her mind is getting worse and worse and worse. It's kind of remarkable how we raise children, and then you watch some folk, they go right back into what they were raised out of as a child. They forget things. They don't know how to do things anymore. And it's kind of a circle of life. And I watch that. I watch older folks that have Alzheimer's or dementia. And it's a sad thing. It's a sad thing. But I want you to know that's not God. God didn't do that. That's sin. What God did was good. God is a good God. God is a loving God. He is not an evil God. He didn't give cancer. He didn't give death. He allowed it to happen. But it's not His perfect. It was never in His perfect will. And I want you to know that what God does is good, never evil. But He gets the blame for it. But the person that deserves the blame is the devil. But we like to surpass, and I think it's because we think of things like this. We think, well, God, we know that You could have done something different. But I'm reminded of that verse, for we know that all things work together for good. How's it end? To them that love God, to them who are called according to His will. Now listen, the Bible says all things don't necessarily work together for good. The Bible says all things work together for good to them that love Him. Now, there are a lot of people that don't love Him. And if you and I love Him, by deductive reasoning, I can say, if I love Him, then no matter what happens, it's going to work out for good. Because God said so. Because God is a good God. And the Bible says here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 4, and God saw it, that it was good. And I'm reminded that what God does is always good. I'm not saying you haven't had hard times. I'm not saying you haven't had heartaches. I'm not saying that God could not have divinely intervened and stopped whatever happened from happening. I'm not saying that. God can do whatever God wants. However, God did give us a free will, and God did let us make decisions. And some of the things that have happened to us are of our own cognizance and our own free will, right? You know, some of the health issues that we have when we get older are a product of how we treated ourselves when we were younger, right? But we don't like to think about that. Well, that's not the way I'm doing it. I don't do that anymore. But you did it for 30 years. I'm glad you don't do it anymore. You don't think there's going to be a, you know, you ate Twinkies every day. No wonder you weigh 700 pounds. You ate Twinkies every day. I don't know how these pants don't fit. Well, I could probably tell you. I could probably watch you eat for a week and tell you why they don't fit no more. That's my biggest excuse. I don't know what's going on here. It's because I eat. I eat wrong. It's not God's fault. It's my fault. The devil is the one that should be blamed. Every time you see a St. Jude commercial when children have cancer, and you think, how could this? You know, I've seen that Jack Strong. I don't know what that was. It must have been a thing around here. But I see that little boy and the mom coming over the screen, and I think, and at the beginning I thought, well, maybe the boy lived. And then I find out that he didn't live, and I'm like, oh, that's heart-wrenching. I hate cancer. I hate children having to suffer. I hate the way that people are treated by malicious groups. I hate that some people in life didn't seem to ever have gotten a chance, but I want you to know that wasn't God. That's the devil. And if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be in this mess. So we need to stop blaming God and start looking at, number one, ourself, and number two, looking at the real enemy, the devil. And by the way, people aren't the enemy. The council members of Fairmont, they're not our enemy. The devil's our enemy. What God does is always good. Number two, it says, and God saw the light, that it was good. And I like this. And God divided the light from the darkness. When I saw that, number two, I thought, what God divides can't be changed. See, you can't have total darkness with just one glimmer of light. Did you know that? You can't have darkness and light in the same place. And God is the one that divided that. You say, well, I don't make any sense. I don't know how it makes sense, but I just know the Bible says, and God divided the darkness from the light. Man can't undo that. Where there is light, there is a lack of darkness. You can't have dry water. Somebody may call it dry water, but there's no such thing as dry water. It's like jumbo shrimp. That doesn't make sense. That's an oxymoron. A fat, thin man. A smart drunk. An almost faithful person. Well, they're almost faithful. What? You can't be almost faithful. The word faithful contradicts almost. You're either faithful or you're not. A woman driver. Hey, wait a minute. How did that get in my notes? Dave Meyer, why did you put that in my note? I knew that I should stay away from the mire and the clay. I'm just kidding. Hey, how about this? You can't divide this. A man to a woman. Can't divide that. Well, I was born a man, but I decided to be a woman. Wrong. Well, I'll have surgery. Your blood is still going to be male or female. The Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. I don't care how many surgeries you have, Bruce Jenner is still Bruce Jenner. I don't care what he did. Well, I do care, but it doesn't change the fact that he's Bruce Jenner. And God made him that way. And he wasn't, you know what I don't understand? Now, obviously, we're dealing with transgender. A transgender wants me to accept them for what they want to be when they're not even willing to accept them for what they were. That doesn't make any sense. I want you to accept me for what I want to be because I wasn't willing to accept me for who I was. No matter how many surgeries you have, you can't change what God did. God made you male and female. We'll talk about that in a few weeks. I find it interesting that atheists and those who profess that God, the God of the Bible isn't real, yet if you were to ask them what the time between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. was called, they would say day. And if you were to ask them what time from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. is called, they would call it night. Isn't it interesting that an atheist who does not believe in God, that does not believe the Bible, if I were to say the time period between 6 a.m.-ish to 6 p.m.-ish, what would you call that? Well, we'd call that daytime. Oh, you know, God's the one that named that. You don't believe in God, you can't use that no more. You got to come up with your own term. Because the Bible says, and he called the light day, and the darkness he called. Isn't it interesting that every atheist in the world has to profess that God is real just for the simple fact that they have to use the word day and night because God's the one that invented that? I like that. Number three, this is my final point. Number one, we saw what God does is always good. Number two, what God divides can't be changed. And number three, what God declares is always so. And the evening and the morning were the first day. This disproves theistic evolution, the gap theory, and the day-age theory. Now, I want to park here just for a second. So if you're in the habit of trying to learn some things, then here are some things that you need to know. Theistic evolution. What is theistic evolution? Theistic evolution is a person that believes in God. But because they don't want to be called ignorant, and obviously they don't believe the Bible the way it says, they have come up with the idea that God created the Big Bang Theory. And there was a God, He created the evolutionary process, and that's how we have evolved from God who created the evolutionary process. That's theistic evolution. They believe that there is a God, but they also believe in evolution. Well, I want you to know that that goes straight against the Word of God. The Bible says, and the evening, now I'm not an English scholar, but the evening is one, and the morning is one, and the first day is day, singular. Not days, day. And the evening and the morning were the first day. God is very particular on that. And so if you believe in theistic evolution, you cannot get that from the Bible. You obviously don't believe the Word of God. What about the gap theory? There's two different versions of the gap theory. There's the gap theory, then there's the new gap theory. The gap theory is basically between Genesis 1:1. Because see, Christians are trying to not be intimidated by an evolutionary world. The Christians are trying to say, well, I don't want to be considered dumb. I don't want to be considered ignorant. These people that have all these PhDs, they're so smart and everything. And they say that this rock is 3 billion years old. And if that rock's 3 billion years old, then six literal days and 6,000 years of the young earth, that doesn't make any sense. And we don't want to be called dumb. And so they've come up with a gap theory. Here's the gap theory. They say between Genesis 1:1, God created the heaven and the earth, and Genesis 1:2, that between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, there was an earth that was created, and it lasted for millions and millions of years, and then God had to wipe it out and start over. The problem with that is if things started to go bad, it happened before sin. And the only reason that anything that God ever did that was good started to spoil was because of sin. And therefore, the theory that between 1 and 2, that the whole universe just kind of went rotten and God had to kind of fix it up and start over, is wrong, because that would have said that sin took place before Genesis chapter 3 and the Garden of Eden. So that doesn't work. They said that God recreated in the 6 days described in Genesis. The idea falls behind because it lacks biblical support, number one. And it puts death before sin when Scripture describes death as a consequence of sin. And the new gap theory says that there's a gap between Genesis 1:2 and 1:3. Also saying millions of years, which gives us the old look. However, that couldn't be true if the Bible was true. Here's another interesting thought. If you wanted to go to the Hebrew, the word yom, Y-O-M, the word yom that is used for day, and the evening and the morning were the first yom, that's the Hebrew word, or the first day. The Hebrew word for day, yom, as in English, is used both for literal 24-hour day and also for indefinite periods of time, such as the expression For the day of the Lord is at hand. It wasn't the 24-hour period of day is at hand. The day of the Lord is at hand. However, the word yom always means a 24-hour literal day when it is used with a numeral. Always. No exception. The word yom is always translated meaning a 24-hour period when it is used with a number. And the evening and the morning were the number yom. First 24-hour period. No exceptions to this rule. There's no exception to the rule. It is always, when used with a number, the word yom in Hebrew is always translated as a 24-hour period. And so this gap theory could not work. Now, what about the day-age theory? They take that verse, well, 1,000 years is as a day to the Lord, and a day is as 1,000 years to the Lord. That also is wrong because of the Hebrew word yom. It says the evening and the morning were the first day. No confusion, no explanation needed. That is what the Bible says. And so, friend, I believe that this earth is approximately 6,000 years old. Approximately 6,017-ish, give 3 or 4, maybe 5 or 10 years. It's about 6,000 years old. People are like, well, what about with the rocks and the million of years? Well, number one, when God created Adam and Eve, He made them at the age, probably the age of 33. And He made them not babies where they grew. He made them in their mature state. Just like He made the earth in a mature state. Just like He made the universe in a mature state. So if the mature state means that it has to look a millions of years old, fine. That's the mature state that God created it in. That's no big deal to me. Now, the Grand Canyon, they go to the Grand Canyon and say, look at all these rock layers. See, that means that's how old the earth is, and it's billions of years old. Wrong. That was cause of a flood. A universal flood that they don't want to think happened. The Bible talks about that flood, of course, being Noah's flood. They have done some testing. And they like to take a rock and they do some kind of whatever, and I don't know all the terminologies, but they say, we took a grain of mineral out of that, and that grain of mineral dated to be 6 billion years old, or whatever. Now here's an interesting thing. This is true. If you were ever able to watch the Ken Ham Bill Nye debate, this was brought up at that debate. Ken Ham says, well, what about that rock that you guys dated to be billions of years old? And inside of that rock, there was a hammer, a metal, a piece of metal that a man made. And around that rock, around that hammer, that metal piece of ore or metal hammer, the rock was billions of years old, but that hammer could not be any more than 6,000 years old. Explain that. And they can't. But I can. The flood. I can explain it. And so the Bible says, and the evening and the morning were the first day. What do I get from Genesis chapter 1 verse 4 and 5? What God does is always good. What God divides can't be changed. And what God declares is always so. Science has always caught up with the Word of God, typically. They used to think the world was flat, but the Bible says He sits on the circumference of the earth, which tells us the earth is round. We have found out that the life of the flesh is in the blood. They used to bleed people to death thinking that there was bad blood in them, not knowing that your blood is what actually kept you alive. Now they have these centers called dialysis centers that you can take your loved one that needs dialysis, and they will take that bad blood through a machine of some sort, clean it up, and put it back in. Why? Because that person needs good blood, or they will be septic and die. See, doctors have caught up with the Bible. They have discovered that an XX chromosome and an XY chromosome, one means boy, one means girl. When an XX chromosome and an XY chromosome meet together and they perform an XXY or XX whatever, that DNA, that little XY is going to be a baby. What is it, a boy for an XY and a girl for an XX? I don't even know. Am I right? It's in the blood. How many of you know your blood type right now? I'm not going to ask you to declare it, but you know your blood type? It took me a long time. When I went to China, I had to figure it out. I know my blood type too. Did you know that some of your blood won't mix with my blood? Now, there may be somebody in here that has the special blood that mixes with everybody's blood. Congratulations. You're cool. Did you know that some people's blood, and, you know, I think it's A negative, if I'm A positive, but A negative, you're more susceptible to sickness and your immune system always gets weak. But A positive, usually your immune system stays strong. You can go and study your blood type. I mean, when I did my blood sample, I got this whole book about what everything, here's what it said, here's what you should eat if you're A positive, A negative, B, whatever. This is what you should eat. If you eat this, this will help you. If you don't eat this, this will hurt you. And it's different for everybody. It's crazy. And it's all because, and it's all found in the blood. Well, maybe God knew what he was talking about when he said the life of the flesh is in the blood. And scientists are like, you know what? This blood stuff's pretty important. But they can't figure out that God said he made the earth in 6 literal days. Now, you say, what does that have to do with me? That's a great question. See, we always need to remember that the God we serve is a God that is always good and does good. If you're going through a problem, yes, God can, and always will deliver you from our trouble, from your trouble, if we're his children. Sometimes God takes the trouble away from you. And then sometimes God takes you away from the trouble. See, God healed my father of heart disease. He didn't take the disease away from my father and let him live here on earth. He took my father away from the disease where he'll never have to face it again. See, as a Christian, you will always be delivered from your burdens and troubles. Always. Always. You either will be delivered miraculously here on earth, or God will deliver you to heaven and you won't have to worry about it anymore. But either way, you're a winner. We sang, I'm on the winning side. But maybe you're going through a problem. I want you to know that God has this under control. And I also want us to be reminded that the devil's the one that causes evil and problems, not God. We also need to remember that God gets to decide who and what about things. He gets to decide what we call day and night. He gets to decide the difference between darkness and light, the difference between male and female. He gets to declare to us, we really can't declare to him. He already knows, but he can declare to us that the evening and the morning were the first day. He also just gets to declare to us how we can have true happiness and where happiness lies. How can one obtain eternal life? See, God gets to declare all this. He gets to declare what we call the daytime and the nighttime, and that's not going to change. Now, if some atheistic scientists heard this, they would probably try to get a committee together to figure out how we could stop calling daytime day. And they're ignorant enough to do that. But God gets to declare what it's called. Now, Adam and Eve got to name the animals, but God got to name the day and the night. God got to name male and female. And just like God got to name day and night and male and female, God gets to declare to you how you can go to heaven. I can't declare to you how to go to heaven. God gets to declare to you how to go to heaven. I can just tell you what he said. See, some people think that you can go to heaven by being good. That's ignorant. You know why that's ignorant? Not because that's not a neat idea. It's ignorant because it's not what God said. And he gets to declare it. It's his home. He can let in who he wants to let in. He wants everybody to come in, but he's going to have rules about coming into his home. And that means if you're going to go to heaven, you have to go under the blood of Jesus Christ. You have to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know, Pastor Nathan, I'm not 100% sure that I am saved. Well, I want you to know you can be saved. And the Bible declares that you can be saved. For whosoever, that's anybody. For whosoever, he gets to declare who gets to go. Everybody. If they want to. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He tells us who gets to go. He tells us how to go. And he tells you that you can go. And if you're here today and you're not saved, then I want you to know there's only one way to go to heaven, and Jesus declared it. It's him. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. No man can go to the Father but through Jesus Christ. And so if you're here today and you say, you know, I'm a pretty good person. I mean, I want to go to heaven. I'm a pretty good person. I've not like done any major crime or anything. I want you to know that won't get you to heaven. Because that's not what Jesus declared. And I got to be frankly honest with you. I'm glad that that's not what Jesus declared for me to have to go to heaven. Because my makeup, my physical makeup, my mental makeup, I would be a nervous wreck. I'd be trying to jot down. I mean, I would go crazy. Be trying to figure out what everything I did. Was it good? Was it bad? Did I have good intent? Did I have bad intent? I don't understand if it weighs out good. It does the good outweigh? Because I want to go to heaven so bad. I would literally lose my mind if I had to keep up with good and bad in order to go to heaven. Because I'll tell you what. If that's what it declared, and if you believe it's good and bad that takes you to heaven, and you don't keep a notebook, you're crazy. I would make sure that I kept a notebook of what I did and what I didn't do because I'd want to know. Well, I've got 3 million good things and 295 million bad things. I'm good. I mean, that's what I would want to know. But I'm glad that God didn't declare you have to be good to go to heaven. He declared that you had to be saved. How do you get saved? Well, realize you're a sinner. Realize that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and ask him to come into your heart and be your Savior. If you do that, friend, he will save you not just for today. He'll save you for all eternity. That's the God that we serve.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this study from God's Word. Please feel free to like us on Facebook and join us anytime for our live stream. We hope you have a blessed day.